Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program.
I have been racing my car in Formula One for 2 years and have yet to win my first Grand Prix. I intend to win by whatever means are open to me.
And the champions, the excitement of Monaco, Spa, Zandvoort, Monza.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us the history of the Hungarian Grand Prix. This is podcast number 519, August 2nd, 2011. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by the donation button. Located on the front page of the F1Weekly website. Click on it. Donate. You know you want to.
On today's program, Renault cancels Earth, Wind, and Fire concert. McLaren sees the Drivers' Championship coming back. Fernando still in the hunt. And Williams becoming a sad, sad story. And of course, we've got the history of the Hungarian Grand Prix. This is when the guru works overtime. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers himself.
Outstanding. Another great, great weekend in Budapest.
A beautiful day in Budapest.
Well, what's really interesting is there's so many red lights on in Budapest.
Really?
Oh, yes. Those girls are out there working hard. And I love that.
Really?
Yes, I do. The old traditions are always good. You know, Lord Hesketh.
I did think the grid girls were a little bit on the smoking side.
Yes. Hungary is a happening place. And
I really like those little dresses.
I like the dresses. They were smoking. But anyway, outstanding day. Once again, cooler weather in Europe.
Wet in Hungary for the first time, for like only the second time in 25 years.
Correct. It was great. Wonderful. Of course, let's go right to quali. I have to remind everybody that Mr. Sebastian Buemi has a 5-grid spot penalty. And that's from his
infractions
from the previous race in Germany, correct. The other big story of the day really is, can Red Bull get back to form? Are they losing it?
Yes.
You know, when you see Adrian Newey wandering around looking at the Ferrari and the McLaren and scratching his head, I have concerns.
Yes. They did look good in practice. They weren't on top.
Correct. And McLaren is looking very, very good.
Especially in the hands of Lewis Hamilton.
It is windy on qualifying day. There's a little bit of a...
But not tremendously so. It isn't a bowl, so...
No, but it's similar to Barcelona a little bit. You know, the winds
make a difference.
So it's going to be very interesting. It is dry on qualifying. Of course, the one to watch for me is Ricciardo. He must now begin to out-qualify Vitantonio Liuzzi. He must impress somebody if he's going to stay in Formula One. Tires, we've got softs, and we've got super softs.
Super soft.
Who comes up with this stuff? Why can't we just go with A, B, and C?
Why don't we not tell anybody what the compound is and let everybody guess?
And see what happens? Hey, it's fascinating. And the other thing during qualifying... A lot of people call this track Monaco without the houses. There is going to be some traffic issues.
Traffic issues. A very turny track.
Turny?
Turny.
Wow, that's technical, Steve.
Second slowest lap time on the calendar. Second slowest track on the calendar. Just really don't get a lot of speed. And, you know, you get two 180-degree turns at the end of the track. Is really almost overkill. But I do enjoy watching races at this track. It's just kind of a fun track to watch the cars.
Well, not only that, but always something interesting happens here. I mean, don't forget, you know, people accusing of Fernando holding up Lewis Hamilton a few years ago.
Well, and then, you know, texting. A couple of years ago when Fernando loses the wheel nut, and then poor Robert Kubica finally gets points but gets tossed out because he's underweight.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Jenson Button's first win in mixed conditions. Fernando Alonso's first win. A lot of things have happened in Hungary. A laissez-faire kind of a place where really it's not ultra-modern by any stretch of the imagination.
No, well, we've been racing at this track for 25 years.
That's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, it's one of those nice things. It's one of those tracks that has that longevity and doesn't appear to be on its way off the calendar anytime real soon.
Which is great, and I think the girls have a lot to do with that, Stephen.
They keep Bernie happy.
You petite salope. But anyway, yes, let's go right to Q1. McLaren looking very strong. 10 minutes to go. The dirty side of the track at this track is very dirty.
Well, they're saying that this track only gets used 3 times a year.
Correct. Not only that, but the track sweepers, they only do one lane and they just throw it all to the right side.
What is it? They only have one truck.
Exactly.
And it throws it all into the, you know, it basically drives on the racing line and every place else is nothing.
Well, the worst part, it's an old ice skating rink truck.
Oh, you mean it's an old Zamboni?
Yes, it's an old Zamboni that they retrofitted. So it's very fascinating. But
so they did scrape the rubber off of the track.
It's just great stuff. I love it here in Hungary. Halfway through the session, it's Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button, Massa, Rosberg, Schumacher, Weber, DiRista, Petrov, and Adrian Sutil. Jarno Trulli, by the way, is content and happy. He's back in the seat. Him and Karun Chanduk have made up.
Well, I thought they had like a cage match and the guy that won.
And he says the new steering system is just completely, fundamentally reshaped his whole
outlook on
on everything. Yes.
That's some wine.
I know.
No, come on.
6 minutes, 6.5 minutes left in the session. Fernando Alonso fastest in Sector 1, Sector 2, and the loose goes right to P1. 6 minutes, all pit for tires. Pastor Maldonado just makes it in. Williams seems to be taking more steps backwards than forwards.
It's almost like they're starting to look like a rookie team.
It's
with
sad
some of the
because
stuff they're doing. It's
I mean
like,
the kind of heritage we're talking about here, Frank Williams, the vintages. You know, we're talking KK Rosberg. I mean, some great championships.
Yeah, Williams Renault.
It's sort of sad to see, but out in the first session is Sebastian Buemi, Heikki Kovalainen, Jarno Trulli, Timo Glock, Vitantonio Liuzzi.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Thank you, DR. I was almost going to say Dan Ryder.
And D'Ambrosio.
D'Ambrosio.
So give Ricciardo a little credit. He didn't out-qualify his teammate, but exactly. He did out-qualify one of the virgins.
That's good. And he should be out-qualifying any virgin, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly. And D'Ambrosio, you know, I still really don't know where this guy came from.
Well, he had some good success, so he deserves what he's getting, and there you have it. Q2, nobody in a hurry to go out. And finally, with 12 and a half minutes left, DiRista out first. Sebastian Vettel goes out on the super softs. Lewis Hamilton out on the regular soft. Halfway through the session, it's Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, and Felipe Massa. And right here, I'm thinking, you know, can Ferrari pull a rabbit out of their hat? Can, you know, I mean, they seem to be getting so close ever since Fernando won in Silverstone. He's always on the podium these days.
And he's close. He's there, but for some reason, they can't get that one really quick lap.
And that's their Achilles heel is qualifying Q3.
Yeah.
They've got to get better at Q3.
They're doing well, but they're not getting those front row spots, which are huge, especially at some place like Hungary, where, you know, there aren't a lot of really good overtaking opportunities.
Right. And, of course, in Q2, I'm thinking about my guys at Renault. Can you guys make it into Q3 for
old time's sake?
For the vintages. But no, it doesn't happen. Nick Heidfeld doesn't get into Q3. But, you know.
There's another team that's kind of slipping instead of moving forward.
Yeah, they're slipping all right. And I'd rather see them on fire. Anyway, out in Q2 is DiRista, which was surprising. Adrian Sutil does make it to Q3. Vitaly Petrov, Kamui Kobayashi. He's, you know, they were doing so much better earlier, and now they're having some struggles.
Yeah, I think what's happened at Sauber is they haven't been able to improve quickly enough to maintain their infield pace.
You're right.
So to speak. So they're kind of lagging behind just a tiny bit, and it's starting to show.
Yep. Nick Heidfeld, as I previously stated, Rubinho, Jaime Argasuari, and Pastor Maldonado. So, yes, Williams, definitely a mid-pack team now, which is a sad state of affair. Both and Renaults.
Kind of almost a little bit low mid-pack, too.
Yes, because Toro Rosso seems to be outpacing them.
Sauber's definitely doing better.
So, it's a sad state of affairs. Hopefully, with the Renault package,
that will give them some improvement. But part of the problem I see with what they're doing is they're hurting themselves by changing engine manufacturers every year. Very difficult to put together an entire package when you keep changing one of the major components.
Well, they've stuck with Cosworth for a couple of years, and it's just not working out. Cosworth is not going to be fighting for the front of the spear.
Well, Cosworth is trying to claim that they could, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. But Sergio Perez does make it to Q3, which is pretty cool.
Good for him.
Absolutely. So, out, like I said, and the lineup is Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Michael Schumacher, Adrian Sutil, and Sergio Perez are the top 10 that move on to Q3. Three. And of course, Q3 is really the most exciting part of these sessions.
Oh yeah, definitely. And very interesting the way they've kind of evolved, depending on the track and what's going on, because had several people out, only had a couple people out at the beginning of the session.
Well, the biggest problem is you're going to have a few people, like the Mercedes, Sergio Perez, Adrian Sutil, thinking, save a set of super tires, just put in a lap at the end of the session, because you're not going to out-qualify the Ferraris, the McLarens, or the Red Bulls.
Unless you can somehow just throw some kind of super amazing lap down. But
yeah, that's called illegal fuel, Steven.
Yeah.
Nitrous oxide.
Studded tires.
Yeah. So, that's not going to happen. But still, this is where it gets very interesting. Halfway through the session, it's Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Jenson Button, Felipe Massa. 3 minutes, everybody pits. And
2 minutes and 30 seconds, everybody's back on the track.
Well, what's very impressive is I thought for sure Lewis Hamilton had this in the bag. As a matter of fact, when I update the front page of the website, I was already searching for a sexy shot of Lewis Hamilton for the front page. And lo and behold, right there, right at the end, it was Sebastian Vettel.
Yep.
And I have so many Vettel pictures that I really don't have to search too much.
No. He's been up there kind of, he's been there kind of often.
Yeah. So very shocking, but very impressive. And that's what I'm talking about. As he always says when he gets pole. And sure enough, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, though, on the front row. We've got Jenson Button doing a much better job than last weekend. Felipe Massa out qualifying. And machismo himself, Fernando Alonso. And Mark Webber could only manage sixth place, Stephen.
Yep. And the gap between the top five was just ridiculous.
I agree. Then we have Nico Rosberg, Sutil, Schumacher, and Sergio Perez. And of course, those guys only put in one lap. It was very exciting.
Sergio Perez didn't even do a lap.
Yeah. And there was no need to. He knew, save those tires. You're not going to gain anything from going out there trying to beat these top teams.
Yeah, you're just going to end up burning up tires that you could use to kind of solidify your position in the lower portion of the top 10.
Of course, unless you're testing something, definitely pointless. Anyway, let's go right to the Hungarian Grand Prix. Surprisingly enough, we have light rain. The track is wet. And even though it's very light rain, when this track gets wet, it stays very wet.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like it's not crested, doesn't have a proper crest to it to drain well. It's kind of funny in that way. Everybody going out on their reconnaissance laps, going out on intermediates. A couple of people even doing a lap on wets just to see what the difference is. And it's interesting to watch them on the reconnaissance laps. Even with the intermediates, the cars are getting loose.
Yes, Felipe Massa goes off driving to the grid, but saves it, luckily. Yeah.
Well, you see a lot of people try to put down power in the back end, just go beep.
Yep. So it is going to be intermediates for all teams. The team tells Adrian Sutil to have an intelligent race. This is one of my favorite comments. And you know, I don't know where these people come from. But that's just...
Adrian, don't be an idiot.
Yes. You stupid! Yeah. Adrian, have an intelligent race. It's beautiful stuff. Nico Rosberg, he runs wide at turn four on the formation lap, which is funny, but...
There are a couple spots... It's weird. You're saying, this track doesn't like drain. It's really weird because there are a couple spots in the track where even as the dry line started to form a little bit later in the race... People were still getting loose because the line was just... The wet would like encroach back on the dry line.
Yeah, and of course we've got the severe dirty side to think about.
The severe dirty side.
So you gotta love it.
Your
anyway.
Dirty little track.
This is gonna be a great race. I'm anticipating a great race. We've got mixed conditions, which we've seen before. And we know the fun is about to begin.
Yes.
Anyway, the lights go out. Nico Rosberg and Michael Schumacher... outstanding start for them. Felipe Massa and Fernando Alonso, very good start. Mark Webber, bad start, goes down to P8. Nico Rosberg goes wide. Fernando Alonso trying to pass Michael Schumacher. Great start for Sebastian Vettel.
Yep, he holds off Hamilton.
Which he had to do. I mean, yeah. If he loses Hamilton in the first corner, he knows that this is going to be a tough cookie to deal
with. Makes it even more difficult to maintain his...
And there's quite a bit of spray in this start. And people are not going very fast.
No, it was weird watching those first couple laps. It was kind of like they were in slow motion.
Yeah.
Even on the intermediates, they were still... The cars were so twitchy, it was ridiculous.
Exactly. It was fascinating. But and it was such a good start for Rosberg and Schumacher passing the Ferraris. But Fernando Alonso on lap two... Gets past Michael Schumacher. Lewis Hamilton almost goes sideways. Lap three, Lewis Hamilton all over the back of Sebastian Vettel. DRS is enabled. The live timing from Formula1.com was still not up and running.
Yeah, they were saying on the Speed podcast that we'll just have to kind of wing it.
Yes, because it's funny because a lot of people depend on this resource.
Yeah, well, because the feeds, you only get one camera at a time. You can't watch the whole track. And that's kind of how you watch the whole track, is you can watch times. And
yeah, so for me, it's definitely a tool that I use. And when it's not there, it's very, very tough. But anyway, lap four, Lewis Hamilton all over the back of Sebastian Vettel. Fernando Alonso goes wide. Nico Rosberg gets by him. Fernando Alonso in front of Felipe Massa. Lap four, track beginning to dry. Who pits first is the question, because if it starts drying, you got to get rid of those intermediate tires.
Exactly.
Lap five, Sebastian Vettel goes wide. Lewis Hamilton takes the lead, and another mistake from the German.
Yes. And very similar to the mistake that he made in Germany,
too. A little bit. But it's so slippery, and you know, if you try to, you know, you're going wide. If you try to fight it, you could spin the car. So he did the right thing. Lose position, right. But still you stay on the track.
And we see a lot of people. It was a turn three. It's kind of a downhill left-hander. And what happens is, as you're losing the camera going down that hill, the car just keeps going straight.
Exactly.
It's really tough to hold the line.
Lap five, Sebastian Vettel goes wide. Like I said, Lewis Hamilton takes the lead. The team tells Jenson Button, yellow button to pass Sebastian Vettel. Which is probably something to pick up the revs on the car or something.
Nitrous oxide.
Yes, it could be nitrous oxide. Lap six, Kamui Kobayashi is in P10, and Vitaly Petrov is in P11. Fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with 142.2. Fernando Alonso goes wide on turn 12. Felipe Massa gets by, but Felipe Massa knows where he belongs.
Yeah, exactly. Can't stay here that long.
No, you do not stay in front of the boss. So Felipe Massa lets him go in front very quickly. Lap 7, fast lap of the race. Lewis Hamilton, 141.2. Fernando Alonso now all over Nico Rosberg. Felipe Massa spins in turn 2, but saves the car. Lap 8, fast lap. Lewis Hamilton, 140.4. Felipe Massa now in P9. Lap 9, with DRS, Fernando Alonso passes Rosberg. Fernando fastest in Sector 1 and Sector 2. He is now putting in the fast lap with a 140.334.
Yeah, Massa's off. He just just touches the wall. And he busts off the end plate on one of his rear risers.
Correct. And some people were concerned that then the car is now not...
pristine.
Well, that's not, well, pristine's a good word, Stephen. But it's not in the legal formation that it's supposed to be, the rear wing.
Oh, so they think he's going to get better performance from it?
Yeah, maybe. You never know. These things
happen. Actually, it really didn't look like it helped or hindered him.
Correct.
In either way.
Which happens most of the time. Half of the stuff on these cards is absolutely pointless, Steve.
Just a lot of money for some carbon fiber manufacturer.
Correct. So the team tells Felipe Massa, it's time to start thinking about taking risks, and I think they're maybe about driver choices. And maybe
I think it's like, we want you to come in and put on the softs to see whether or not we want to put Fernando on them.
Correct. But the dry line is beginning to form on the track, Stephen. Lap 10's fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso with a 139.9. Mark Webber pits, super softs. Felipe Massa, super softs. Slow stop, some kind of wheel nut issue. Vitaly Petrov and Rubinho pits as well. Lap 11, Justin Button pits, super softs. Rista pits as well. Fernando Alonso, another fast lap with a 139.5. Very fascinating. Lap 12, Lewis Hamilton pits, super softs.
Yeah, basically an avalanche.
Yeah, it is. And I'm missing a number of pits, but these are the relevant people. Everybody else do not get mentioned.
Mix them in there. It's happening to them too.
Right. Most everybody's pitting for the slick tires. Lap 12, Mark Webber puts in the fast lap with a 136.1. Michael Schumacher leads the race on enters.
Yeah, the one interesting thing about seeing all these people go into the slicks is that there's this huge puddle right at the end of pit lane. So everybody's out there on cold slicks, coming out of the pit lane, slip slide, going down into turn one, kind of, hoping to keep it on the track. It's just, it's
keep
fun to watch.
Keep up the good work. So Michael Schumacher's leading the race on inters. He's getting a few fond memories of the past as the wind's blowing through his long hair. Lap 13, Michael Schumacher pits. Felipe Massa now does the fast lap of the race with a 135.3. Jenson Button passes Sebastian Vettel. Mark Webber passes Fernando Alonso. Lap 14, fast lap. Lewis Hamilton, 131.6. And the race is like this. Lewis Hamilton, Button, Vettel, Webber, Alonso, Rosberg, and Durista. Durista doing an outstanding job, by the way, Stephen.
Yeah, he's having a good weekend. He's always having a good race.
And he's, you know, that guy's cousin. I think Greg Biffle's cousin.
Maybe.
I think so. Some, one of those guys.
Or some other Scott.
Yeah, whatever. Biffle, that's Scott, isn't it?
Maybe. It's a derivative.
Yeah, you got to make it roll. Yeah, thank you very much. Mark Webber goes wide, gets back on quickly. Pastor Maldonado is being investigated for speeding and gets a drive-through penalty. Lap 15, fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton with a 129.4. Heikki Kovalainen investigated for unsafe release. Lap 17, fast lap of the race, Fernando Alonso with a 128.6. Fernando now on the rear of Monsieur Webber. Lap 19, HRT losing front parts left and right. It's just stuff just flying off the car.
It's like the old McLarens.
Yeah, I love that. When Pablo Montoya's wing would fly off, yeah. and the horns.
The horns would disappear.
Yeah, those Viking horns, remember those? They'd be flapping in the wind. And at first, I thought it was on purpose. I thought they were actually going up and down like a bird.
Oh, I thought they were trying to just shed weight. Jettison those wings that were too heavy.
That's a good idea. But yeah, I guess if you could pick up enough clag at the end of the race. Exactly. That's so beautiful, Stephen. Fast lap of the race on lap 19. Jenson Button with a 128.1. Durista still in P7. Lap 20, fast lap of the race, Lewis Hamilton. And this is telling me one thing. McLaren has definitely picked up the pace. And Red Bull is probably in the shock and awe.
Well, I think Red Bull's kind of trying to figure out where they can get more speed because McLaren's obviously caught up, and it's a matter of basically, can we get back ahead?
Correct. Lap 21, Yarno Trulli, super pumped up with this power steering system, is out of the race, oil leak.
Yeah.
Felipe Massa looking
good. Steering was just too powerful.
Yeah, I guess.
Off the seals.
Well, you know, I'm not going to get involved, Stephen. Lap 21, Felipe Massa looking to pass Michael Schumacher. Fast lap of the race, Mark Webber, 127.4. And lap 22, I was getting a little frou-froued. I'm going, okay, I need some action here. I mean, I want some excitement. Pastor Maldonado tries to pass Heikki Kovalainen, goes wide, loses two spots. Schumacher on 23, not letting Massa have a chance in the whole Glober. In other words, no, Massa, you're still my number two as well.
Exactly. I still own you.
It's so beautiful. Team tells Lewis Hamilton, use wet patches to cool tires.
As an attempt to try to make them last a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah.
These tires are expected to last between 7 and 10 laps. So it's kind of like, ooh, got to make them last.
Exactly. Lap 24, fast lap. Jenson Button, 127.0. Nick Heidfeld pits. Jenson Button now is catching Lewis Hamilton. Pretty impressive. Nick Heidfeld pits, like I said. And the car is on fire. There's a small explosion. And it looks like the fire started in the pits, but he left on fire.
In order to save the pit crew.
He thought, that's it.
Maybe I could blow it up by moving the car down the track.
I don't know, but this was pathetic. Renault needs to get a grip with what's going on here.
And why is it? Heidfeld's got to stop, you know, like lacing the side pots with gasoline or something. Because
what?
This exactly. is the second time it's happened.
Once again, it happens to Heidfeld. It happened to Heidfeld in Barcelona. I mean, he's always jumping out of cars on that are on fire.
Yeah, he should just try to keep it going.
Therefore, I blame Nick Heidfeld.
Yes, exactly. Just like we used to do at the BMW Sauber days.
It was a pretty big fire. I mean, by the time he parked it at the end of the pit lane, on the pit exit, I mean, it was bellowing and exploding.
Yeah, it took him a while to get it out, too.
Exactly. And, you know, and I thought there would be a safety car. And what I didn't like is Sebastian Vettel is coming out of the pits after his pit stop. And they're slowly backing the car, towing the car into the pits backwards. And it's obviously a dangerous moment. And for a minute there, I thought Charlie Whiting didn't handle that too well.
Yeah, I don't know, but it seemed odd that they would try to get him back in that way with cars in, you know, they knew that there was a car in the pit lane, then they're trying to drag him in. It just seemed a little weird.
It seemed un-Formula One-ish.
And part of that might be the fact that, you know, this group of people gets three races a year. And so the track marshals maybe not quite so, you know, suave as they are in, say, Monaco.
Suave? I like that. I like it, Steven, but you're probably right. Lap 25, Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Felipe Massa, and Vitaly Petrov all pit. Because really, to be honest with you, I thought for sure there would be a safety car. They thought a safety car was coming, and they thought, you know what? Free pit stop.
Let's get it now before...
Didn't happen, Steve. No safety car.
No safety car.
Lap 26, Lewis Hamilton pits. Michael Schumacher does as well. Vitantonio Liuzzi. Lap 27, Fernando Alonso, fast lap of the race with a 125.9. And I'm still surprised that there was no safety car. By lap 28, yeah.
Well,
there's
considering
still
it takes them
a few
five,
laps.
It takes them like five laps.
To get this car
to get
away.
The car
I agree.
Out and out of the way.
I thought it was awkward, but what can you say? Lap 30, it's Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, Mark Webber, Fernando Alonso, Kamui Kobayashi, Felipe Massa, Nico Rosberg, Paul De Rista, and Rubinho.
So it's about lap 28 that Sergio Perez makes a nice pass at the end of the straight.
Yep.
But problem is that's a local yellow in
yeah,
the end of the
it's
straight.
It's beautiful. And on lap 30, it's announced on the intercom system in Hungary that Sergio Perez is investigated for overtaking under a yellow caution. Lap 31, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 125.7. Drive-through penalty for Sergio Perez. Lap 32, Fernando Alonso still looking to pass Mark Webber. Sergio Perez takes his penalty on 33. Fernando now is all over Mark Webber, but no way by. Felipe Massa finally gets by Kamui Kobayashi for P6 in turn 1. Lap 36, Fernando Alonso pits, looking for clear air because he had been behind Mark Webber for so long. I thought that was a smart thing to do.
Yeah, I think it was a good time because he didn't have enough to get past Webber, which kind of tells you the Ferrari still isn't maybe quite as fast as the McLaren. But it's a situation where he's been back there for five laps. Get him off. Get him some fresh air.
I mean,
get
even
him fresh tires.
Even with the DRS, he wouldn't.
Yeah, he didn't have enough.
Because the long straights aren't that long.
Right. That front straight is long, but it's a really tough one. There isn't enough straight to really set somebody up because you can't, you know, like draft him and then move out and get him to make his one defensive move and then go back, because you make the one defensive move and you're at the corner.
Exactly. Jaime Agashwari is focused on Rubinho trying to get P9. Lap 37, the team tells Lewis Hamilton they need 9 more laps out of those tires. Lewis Hamilton giggling in the wind.
Lewis is looking over at his right front going, what, you guys, what are you guys looking at? Look at that onboard
shot. Exactly, film at 11. Jaime Agashwari finally gets by Rubinho for P9. Rubinho says, I'm going into the pits. Fernando Alonso puts in the fast lap of the race on lap 38 with a 1:24.7. Sebastian Vettel tells the team the rear tires are going. Lap 39, Mark Webber pits. Lap 40, Lewis Hamilton pits. Comes out in P3. Felipe Massa pits out in P9. Sebastian Vettel, no grip at all.
Something to mention at this point is that Lewis went to softs.
Correct.
Webber went to hards. Or went at the...
I think because he was going for the longer laps.
Right. But this is going to play out kind of importantly.
Oh, it's going to kill him.
Yeah, by going back to the softs and having to get, you know, going to have to make another pit stop, it's going to end up hurting him because he's on the super softs, but he's not pulling away.
Exactly. No speed at all. Lap 42, Jenson Button pits. He comes out in P2. Darissa pits from P8. Felipe Massa gets by Jaime Agashwari. Yeah.
Vettel and Button both put on the prime tire, whereas Lewis stayed on the super softs, and it's going to come back to haunt Lewis.
It will. Not only that, but things happen later on.
There's more to the story.
Yes. The team tells Mark Webber, finish the race on this set of tires on lap 43. Lap 44, Sebastian Buemi pits, and Jenson Button puts in the fast lap of the way through the 1:24.5. Heikki Kovalainen pits. Sebastian Vettel passes Fernando Alonso, and I was a bit confused on this whole situation right here. I thought Fernando was passing Vettel, but in the end, it was Vettel passing Fernando.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those weird situations. Like, what? Wait, what?
And I did that about 16 times. So, fascinating. The team tells Lewis Hamilton, you must go
faster.
Something like that. I like that, Steven. 46, Jenson Button could win this race. It's all starting to fall in place for him.
Well, basically, Lewis isn't pulling out any kind of lead on the super softs, which is he's got to do because he really needs to open up a gap so that when he goes into change tires, he can retain the lead. But he's not getting anywhere. Both Button and Vettel are still really close to him. And then, I don't know if he was pushing or if he hit one of those little wet spots, but suddenly he has a spin.
Spins away.
And Button takes the lead.
Yep. Team tells Jenson Button to take care of the front left tire on lap 47. Rain is now coming in the back of the track. Fernando Alonso pits from P4. All could pit, but no. Replays show Lewis Hamilton spins, almost hits DeRista as he was trying to correct the spin.
Right.
And of course, he will be investigated.
Very, very unsafe. Well, he almost collected the Williams, too. Before he basically ran DeRista off the track. Very unsafe return to track for Lewis Hamilton.
Lap 48, the team tells Fernando Alonso to push. Massa passes Rosberg on 49. Hamilton is all over Jenson Button on lap 50. And the team tells Fernando Alonso, rain for 10 minutes. Lap 51, Nico Rosberg pits. Lewis Hamilton passes Jenson Button as he goes wide. That was exciting, Steven.
Yeah,
there was some good McLaren clean fighting there. Mark Webber, Nico Rosberg pit. Jenson Button passes Lewis Hamilton with DRS. Lewis Hamilton counterpasses him. This is great stuff, Steve.
Yeah.
I just wish they would hit and touch and yell at each other more. Because it's just too much love.
You got to take each other out because
there's too much love here.
Need some tension in the McLaren pit.
A lot of cars are pitting now. The rain is beginning to come down heavier. Lewis Hamilton pits for intermediates. Mark Webber, Nico Rosberg are on inters as well. Lap 53, Lewis Hamilton is under investigation for spinning in front of Paul DeRista for an unsafe spin. Mark Webber pits back on slicks, and this is really that ruins his race.
Yeah, that pretty much finished him as far as being able to possibly get a podium.
Yep. Lap 54, Fernando Alonso passes Lewis Hamilton. Drive-through penalty for Lewis Hamilton. And then we have tons of people pinning going back.
Yeah, the couple of guys that went on to inners. It was two laps in their back.
For slicks, exactly. Yeah. It was a quick little shower in the back of the field. It amounted to nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. Actually, if Lewis had gone in like two laps sooner and put them on, it may have paid off. But they waited too long to make it a viable strategy.
I agree. Lap 55, it's Jenson Button, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa, Mark Webber, Kamui Kobayashi, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Buemi, and Paul Derisa, our top 10. Lap 56, Timo Glock pits, and the team tells Mark Webber about the drive-through penalty for Lewis Hamilton, giving him a little excitement and something to look forward to. Fast lap of the race, Mark Webber with a 1:24.3. Lewis Hamilton takes the drive-through, comes out behind Mark Webber in P6. Lap 58, Lewis Hamilton passes Felipe Massa. Fast lap of the race, Jenson Button, 1:23.9. Massa now pits and goes with the intermediates or the soft tire. Lap 58, Fernando Alonso spins but keeps P3. Lap 59, Heikki Kovalainen has stopped. A double DNF for Lotus. Big bummer for we all hope could be a good team.
Somebody needs to buy some new seals or something because Heikki was out with a water leak.
Yeah, a water leak.
An oil leak.
Yeah.
I know what it is. The engineers are visiting the red light districts, like you were saying.
Exactly.
So they're a little distracted because they're thinking about going back later.
But they took the company representative from Permatex Formagasket with them. So, yeah, an oil leak and a water leak, that's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, for a Formula One team to lose on leaks, unless they split
some
tubing.
Where are these leaks? I mean, I know the Renault engine is... You know, please, I don't want to hear any comments about flammable, but please.
No, no exhaust that's flammable.
Yes, and everything.
The engines work pretty well.
Yes. Lap 59, Heikki Kovalainen has stopped, and it is a double DNF for Lotus. Big bummer for them, but Lewis Hamilton laughs and goes with a 1:23.8 fast lap of the race. And a train of cars behind Kamui Kobayashi, all fighting for this P7 spot. This was interesting. This was the other race in the race.
Yeah, and this was a fun little run, this particular one.
And we used to see these trains behind Yono Trulli back in the
all
day.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. He was the train maestro.
He was the Trulli train.
Yeah, he was the Trulli train. And it's great stuff. Jaime Gashuari and Buemi both looking to pass Kamui. Lap 61, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa woke up. 1:23.4. Sebastian Buemi gets past Kamui Kobayashi. Jaime Akishwari tries to just follow and, oops, hits Kamui Kobayashi.
Almost gets himself.
No contact, but nothing serious. Lap 62, it's Nico Rosberg, Adrian Sutil, Jaime Akishwari, all past Kamui Kobayashi, and his tires are just shot.
Yeah, exactly. He can't stop.
And the best part is on lap 63, Lewis Hamilton and Mark Webber, who are fighting for P4 in traffic, go through all these guys. But do it very cleanly and quickly.
Yeah, and Lewis takes advantage of Webber having to check up slightly behind someone and just...
And nails him.
Yeah, he just beat him to the corner.
Yep, Lewis Hamilton passes Mark Webber. Mark Webber could not repass. Kamui Kobayashi pits on 64. Lap 67, Mark Webber not giving up on Lewis Hamilton. Lap 68, Sebastian Buemi moved up 15 spots in this race, Stephen.
Very good for him.
15. Now, I know there was a little bit of rain.
Kind of hold his seat against Ricciardo that way.
I'm telling you, I think both of these guys, Alguersuari and Buemi, when you watch their qualifying form and their race pace, it's not that bad considering that now they are their own team. They don't really get any more data from Red Bull as they used to in the past.
Yeah, they're definitely not getting nearly as many bits. And they're doing a good job. The drivers are really holding their own.
I agree.
Compared to the way they were previously.
From what I see from Ricciardo, he's not the one to replace either of them.
At least not until, you know, maybe one of the other guys gets a contract elsewhere.
I agree. So lap 70, guess what? Jenson Button wins. And you know what I like about this win? Is he's a nice guy and everybody loves him. And that's the part I hate about it. Everybody's happy that Jenson Button won. Well, you should be miserable that you didn't win.
It was his 200th Grand Prix. So and it was kind of interesting that he won his 200th Grand Prix on the track that he won his first race.
I know, but when I hear people are happy for Jenson Button because he's such a swell guy, I just want to just dab my throat with a spoon.
We need more eye holes in Formula One.
Yes, I want to hear bitter people with bitterness in their gut. That's what I want to hear, but it's not happening today. Everybody's happy, and, you know, I don't know what to think anymore.
But
it was a good race. Yeah. I did enjoy it quite a bit.
Might also want to mention that Michael Schumacher did retire at one point during the race.
He did retire.
Gearbox problems.
He had a gearbox problem, but he had a pretty clean race. And
he did a really nice thing. He checked up and put himself into a spin so he wouldn't hit Felipe Massa.
And that is, you know, once again, more generosity and love from people that should be hating each other.
Exactly.
So, but that's just me, you know.
What happens when you homogulate? You know, everybody's, you know,
yeah,
very
maybe
friendly.
That's what it is. And, you know, I don't know what Kool-Aid they're drinking, but it's just so annoying. But, no, this is a big win for McLaren. They've done it. And,
but it's actually one of the better results possible for Sebastian Vettel, because it was one of the guys that was further back that won the race than one of the guys close up. So,
no, absolutely. And Vettel keeps scoring big points.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, better Button win this race than Hamilton.
Absolutely.
Because now they're taking points away from each other.
I agree. No. It's a numbers game. And for sure, Vettel would rather win, but still, he's in a great position. But Red Bull is still in big trouble. Jenson Button here believes that Red Bull should have every reason to be worried about their own onions. We are very quick in the race, Button said. In qualifying, it is nice to see we have made some improvements, and nice to see we are up there with the Red Bulls. They should be worried. And you know what? He's absolutely correct.
And I'm sure they are.
Of course, Red Bull, you know, they're concerned. Adrian Newey's concerned because he doesn't like this frost stuff, second and third. That's not going to work for him. And
no.
Mark Webber being in sixth, that's just not cutting the mustard. Horner is not too bummed out. He says, all things considered, on a day like today, you have the ability for more things to go wrong than right. So to come away with second was a great achievement. McLaren's were quick at certain stages of the race, and we were quick at other stages of the race. Forget it, dude. You guys lost. You know what? Everybody's a Henry Kissinger now.
Of course.
I don't like it at all.
That's what the old guys are for. The retired guys will throw you those, you know, nice dramatic bones.
Really? Forget it. Nick Heidfeld, he thinks Renault's season is in trouble.
What gave him that clue?
I have no clue, but
probably the minute they put him in the freaking car, their season was in trouble.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about that, but Robert Kubica doesn't call him anymore.
I wouldn't call him either.
Yep.
He's burning up his car.
Heidfeld says, if it doesn't work, then we are in trouble.
If what doesn't work?
The fire extinguisher, Stephen. Oh. I feel it finally has to work, because we have been saying for some races now that we understand the problem, but it's got to work, and it's not working. Keep up the good work, Heidfeld. You're a professional, and we love you very much. Ferrari, you know, they're hanging in there. Fernando on the podium again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best you could do for a number three team, really.
Yeah, right now, that's really what they are.
And I think it's fascinating. Fernando says, I think that we have now a situation where from the performance in the car and in the races, we are all there. This weekend, in terms of absolute result, there was a lot of things that could have changed the outcome. But in terms of performance and qualifying, we have to improve Q3 because there is something that is still not there. Yeah, it's called pole. Anyway, there you have it.
Well, that I think they're making small strategic mistakes. If Fernando makes one less pit stop, he's probably on the podium.
That's true, but I mean,
or he's possibly in second place.
I agree, but that just isn't the case again. And maybe if there was warmer weather and no rain, that could have happened, but
yeah.
No cigar. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the history of the Hungarian Grand Prix, and you know from who.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals F1 and MotoGP news or for more information. And ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, the history of the Hungarian Grand Prix with Nasser Hamid.
Hello and welcome to the history of Hungarian Formula One Grand Prix, presented with Gypsy Love from Lehar and Unconditional Love from the F1 Weekly Familia. So did you enjoy the race?
Absolutely outstanding, great stuff, great passing, except for that Nick Heidfeld bit.
Hamilton is quite a racer, huh?
Huh? Fernando was pretty good.
Who?
The man, Fernando, when he passed Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they were quite good spinners, too.
Exactly. Hungarian success in Grand Prix racing goes back to the very first Grand Prix in 1906, and you know what that was.
La France!
Exactly. Winner was Hungarian driver Franz Schiss, S-Z-I-S-Z, or S-Z-I-S-Z, however you want to pronounce that name. Anyway, then came the wars, and then came the hammer and sickle. In 1986, Mr. Bernard Ecclestone pierced the Iron Curtain for an F1 race at the Hungaroring near Budapest. And you know, Budapest is two cities actually, Buda and then the Danube and then Pest. The race saw an all-Brazilian front row with Ayrton Senna on pole in his JPS Lotus with Nelson Piquet, of course, senior, alongside in his Williams Honda. That man from Rio won the race after an amazing slip sliding on the outside pass over pole sitter. And you have to see this pass on YouTube to believe it. Third man on the podium was another good friend to both the Brazilians, R. Nige and his Williams. Do you remember the 86 season?
Yeah.
That was very good.
Great looking cars. Happy people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some pissed off people, too. The following year, Piquet and Senna would again share the podium in same finishing order. Third man on the podium was Alain Prost. Le Professor, then driving for Ron Dennis. Senna finally takes the top step of the podium in his McLaren in 1988. Teammate Prost was second and Belgian Thierry Boutsen was third for Benetton. Today, Mr. Boutsen is brokering planes for the jet set in Monte Carlo. And he also has a racing team in, I think it's the Formula Renault Megane series or something like that. So good for him. Some years ago, I met him at the Laguna Seca racetrack. Anyway, okay, in 1991, oh no, we're jumping here. One moment, please, some technical glitches. Okay, where are we now? What year was that, sir? We were in 1988. Okay, now we go to 1989. The best man won today, said the second place man, after he was outmaneuvered by a race winner while they were trying to lap a slower car. R. Nige was the winner in his Ferrari over Senna. Quite a pass he made on Senna when they came to lap a slower car. Boutsen was again third. Boutsen holds off Senna for lap after lap, a race I remember very well, hoping for Senna to pass him, but it never happened. So Boutsen won the Hungarian Grand Prix in 1990. Piquet was third, this time in a Benetton. 1991, Senna was the winner over Williams teammates Mansell and Riccardo Patrese from Padua, also known as Padua in Italy. Two in a row at the Hungaroring for Senna in 1992 over Mansell and Gerhard Berger, Senna's teammate at McLaren. Mika Hakkinen was fourth in his Lotus. 1993, won by zero. Remember the song Saved by Zero?
One of my favorites.
Yeah, as always. And this was won by zero. Damon Hill driving the number zero Williams Renault takes his first GP win. I believe it was his first. I haven't had a chance to double and triple check on this. Patrese, or I will hear from Lucien Byfield, I'm sure, which we always appreciate. Patrese in a Benetton and Berger in a Ferrari completed the podium. BBC commentator Martin Brundle was fifth in his Ligier. 1994, German-Hungarian uprising starts with Schumacher, winning from pole position in his Benetton with teammate Jos the Boss Verstappen also on the podium in third. In between them was Damon Hill, still driving the number zero Williams, sad. 1995, Damon Hill, now in number five, wins the race for Williams. His teammate DC was second, and Gerhard Berger third for Ferrari. Schumacher retired with four laps to go when his Benetton engine was done, blowed up. And that's what happened on Sunday. And what was the engine maker? Ooh. Luca Bedoer was eighth in his Minardi. Now check this out. This is very important. Remember Luca Bedoer, right? Mm-hmm. Luca Bedoer was eighth in his Minardi, wishing only if he could drive a Ferrari in Formula One. And the winds by the Danube whispered, "Be careful what you wish for, just might come true." But of course, the winds were speaking Italian to him. Jacques Villeneuve leads the William Renault 1-2 over Damon Hill in 1996. Jean Alesi also had Renault power in his Benetton, which gave him new motivation, and he came through to finish on the podium in third place. 1997. A real dream maker and heartbreaker for Arrows and Damon Hill. The Jackie Oliver-led team was looking for first win after being in Formula One since 1977. Damon Hill was looking for his first non-Williams win. It was all too good till the last lap and hydraulics issues allowed JV to slip by and take the win for the second year in a row. Hill was second over fellow English chap Johnny Herbert in his Sauber. Jarno Trulli was seventh in a Prost Mugen Honda. 1998, Schumacher leads.
1998.
What did I say?
88.
1988. I must be very tired.
You are fatigued.
Yeah, it's been.
We've been overworking you, but the holidays are up.
It's Monday. It's Monday evening, you know. Thank you for correcting me. 1998, Schumacher leads a trio of good friends to win the Hungarian Grand Prix. Second, DC for McLaren. Third, JV for Williams. And fourth, Damon Hill in a Jordan Mugen Honda. So there was a lot of love for Schumacher on the podium and one spot after the podium. And fifth was the man who... Oh, this is very important. Fifth was the man who used to be the boyfriend of the lady who today is Michael Schumacher's wife. ESPN's favorite. Heinz-Harald Frentzen.
I love Heinz-Harald Frentzen.
Yeah. Some years ago, I think it was last year when I was going to Germania or stopping for a few days, I sent an email to his PR lady and she said, oh, he will not be in Germany at that time. His mother is Spanish. He spends a lot of time in Spain also. So good for him. 1999, this time I got the year right. Hakkinen over DC in the McLaren 1-2. Eddie Irvine was third for Ferrari. Rubinho was fifth for Stewart Racing. Alex Zanardi lasted only 10 laps of the 77-lap race in his Williams. What a season that was for him. In Y2K, Hakkinen repeated his triumph. Second was Schumacher, and DC was third. Now we're getting to serious stuff here, okay? You know, it's 2001, 2003, okay? Just for your sake, I won't dwell on 2007. But anyway... In 2001, Schumacher won the race over teammate Barrichello, and DC, little brother Ralph, was fourth in his Williams BMW. Sixth and seventh were two Sauber drivers, Nick Heidfeld, your favorite, and little Kimi Raikkonen in his first year of Formula One racing. In 2003, Fernando Alonso wins his first Grand Prix by lapping Michael Schumacher. Hard to believe, only 4 years later, he would be slapping Ron for not slowing down his rookie teammate. I guess sometimes you just have to drown your sorrows in the Blue Danube.
Didn't you see Fernando and Lewis Hamilton hugging and kissing in Hungary this year?
Yes, and I was very pleased to see there was some celebration of Jenson Button's 200th win, which, by the way, I said last week was 200.
Yeah, all the drivers went.
So apologies, it was on the Hungarian Grand Prix, and all the drivers was there, and Nando had his arms around his favorite, Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
I said, this is good, you
and
know.
And I think a couple of podcasts ago, I said that these guys are actually probably best of friends, and all the pundits like the excitement and the steam that comes off of this, but in the end, everybody's happy except for Ron Dennis.
I think they respect each other. A good driver always knows who the other good driver is. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
But see, just for that, I didn't even mention 2007.
That's good.
You're going on vacation. Yep. I don't want to spoil your vacation.
Thank you.
And you were talking about red light at the start of the show. I've never been to Hungary. I've heard it's a beautiful place, nice place, good people. But I am told that the oldest profession in the world is legal there. So maybe the whole country is like Vegas, baby.
It's like, and it's half price during Formula One weekend.
Oh, yeah. They have these managers.
Two for the price of one.
Yeah, two for the price of one.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a socialist country, so they'll throw a third one also. Everybody needs to be employed.
I love it.
Yes. And what else is going on in this world as far as the Hungarian Grand Prix is concerned? You think Red Bull is now going down?
Or? No, I think Red Bull is going to be fine. It's still their championship to lose. I mean, he's got 80 points.
Oh, yeah.
All he has to do is finish on the podium.
Yeah, and there are some wins left in
him. But, I mean, it's almost scripted. You know, it certainly would have been boring, and we would have read headlines like that. That if Red Bull continued to win every race, it would become a boring Red Bull season. So we've got the perfect scenario. Fernando winning in Silverstone. Now we've got McLaren on the top step. So we're getting a great season. And I think this season is going to bubble to a high pitch.
I got to say this thing about Jenson Button. You know, this guy has really done very well against Lewis Hamilton based on what everybody said when he joined, myself included. And, you know, now both of them have two wins each. And he certainly has not rolled over and playing dead for Mr. Lewis Hamilton. And as we all know, Lewis had two other teammates at McLaren. One of them freaked out personally, the other freaked out professionally.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, but this really goes to show, you know, you can say anything you want. It's Lewis Hamilton's team. Here is Button, who he won two races last year before Lewis got one. So this is not a good... a story for Heikki Kovalainen. Not that I have anything against him. But, you know, it's like Ricciardo. Sooner or later, you cannot judge a talent like Romain Grosjean, Nico Hülkenberg, Jules Bianchi, and Ricciardo just by two F1 races. But sooner or later, he has to out-qualify Liuzzi. Otherwise, you know... See, what I'm concerned, because I like the guy. I think he's a very talented guy. I would hate to see this guy go 6-8 races... not out qualify, and Marco says, okay, in Abu Dhabi I bring my French Bedouin Jean-Eric Vergne, and he out qualifies Liuzzi. That will be very bad for Danny Boy. But you know, we want to wish everybody all the best, and let the performance on the track make things happen. And looks like Turkey has been axed from the 2012 season, which is not very good because the track is fantastic, great city. But at the same time, I don't think they should be paying $40 million to Bernie to hold a Formula One race, which is not just for Turkey, for any other place, unless they have money to burn from oil money.
I agree.
So,
Ness, thanks for another outstanding historical moment.
Thank you, sir.
That just enriches our lives.
I enjoyed my Magyar moments and the Magyar Nagydíj. Bye now.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to go right into the wrap-up with 50 words on the Hungarian Grand Prix. Stephen?
From his inn, Vettel would have been a happy camper, but then along comes a bit of rain and suddenly all changes. Then Hamilton would have been a happy camper with a better tire choice, and so reliable Button cleans up.
From François Sever, good stuff. We even had fireworks coming out of a Renault. Everybody's a smarty pants.
Yay writes, this race was so exciting it made Nick's side pod explode. 88 pit stops of edge of your seat fantasticness.
Iceman.
Jensen, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Iceman says, deja vu for Button in mixed conditions as Vettel extends his championship lead to 85 points over Weber.
Neon Zapper, rain, a 6 pit stop car, drifting, a fire, no safety cars, and Massa getting a one-time fastest lap after what happened to him last year. Made this a very exciting Grand Prix. It is good to see three teams on the podium with no one pointing to themselves as number one. For what more could you ask?
From Lapped Traffic, fantastic race. Thanks to the weather, Hamilton and Vettel have a mighty battle at the opening laps. Seeing the cars sliding around was fabulous. Button and Hamilton have a fabulous duel in the closing laps. Too bad for Hamilton, his tire strategy came undone at the end. Fantastic win for Button. A nice present for his 200th race.
Dr. Mark, a greasy goulash of goodness delivered by the normally grindingly dull Hungaroring. JB keeps calm, gathers a bit of luck, and collects a good win.
And last but not least, from Miguel El Profesor, Bernie is right. Bring forth the sprinklers. Classy old-timer Button beats fidgety Hamilton in a race where Heidfeld just couldn't withstand the heat. At the end of the day, Vettel extended his lead in the World Drivers' Championship. And you're absolutely right, Steve. Keep up the good work. That was a great race. Let's wrap it up with San Francisco Formula One Group. Check them out. They have great get-togethers in beautiful San Francisco, sff1.com. And, of course, they have all sorts of raffles and other activities at these gatherings. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Red Lion Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, just contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, and everything else.
If it's a social networking site, we're probably on it.
Yeah, MySpace. Do people even do MySpace? I don't even know.
I don't even know if it's even up anymore.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it was bought for $1 billion and sold for $30
million. Ouch.
Yes, that was the big one. Anyway, check us out. Make us a friend if you'd like to advertise or cross-promote your new invention. Just send me an email, info@f1weekly.com. I'll be going on vacation pretty soon. We do have a couple more podcasts to go, but we are on holiday just like Formula One. But we'll be back in the midweek show. Good night.
Good night.
Bye now.